your tryout begin? I want somebody to give me that answer. Somebody, speak up. When you woke up this morning, what else? When you started training, young men, your tryout started when you took your first breath.
Welcome to another episode of A Different Basketball Podcast. My name is Jordan Mount. Today I'm joined by Jamal McCoy from the Raleigh Firebirds. Jamal, man, welcome to the show.
How you doing? How you doing? Good morning.
I don't think I've seen a beard yet that's top mine, but I think you may have me. Who's your barber?
Man, a lot of work, man. Actually, just grew it back. It just grew out. I kept cutting it. I was confused. I was cutting it and letting it grow. So
how long does it take to grow that?
Probably like a couple weeks for me, man. I grow like a wolf.
Man, same here. Yeah. We got good genes.
Good genes for sure.
Exactly. For sure. So Jamal, for the listeners that don't know, you are from you're from Chicago. Talk a little bit about your high school experience and the head coach that you played for in Chicago and how legendary that is.
So I went to South Shore High School in Chicago, the east side of Chicago. Freshman year there, I actually got serious with basketball around my freshman year, sophomore year of high school. A lot of people don't know. We got a coach named Lamont Bryant. He came over from Marshall High School. A lot of people know that's where Patrick Beverly played high school basketball. So after Patrick Beverly's senior year, Lamont Bryant came over to South Shore, which was my sophomore year, coached me. It was a dope experience, man. He was very hard on me, very hard on a lot of us, all of us, really. He made sure, you know, he encouraged me to stay out the streets. He stayed on me about getting to class, stayed on me about, you know, working on my game. It was just a dope experience, man. He was a very hard-nosed coach. We pressed. We ran all day for sure. And it was just different, man. Chicago basketball is just hard-nosed. It's tough. It's physical. So having a coach that, you know, prides itself on being a tough, hard-nosed team, he really instilled something in me that lasted throughout my whole career. That's why I play so hard-nosed now.
Now, do you still have a relationship with him now? Do you still talk to him today?
I haven't talked to Coach Bryant, man, in a while. It's been a while. We kind of lost touch a little bit. I moved to Atlanta in the middle of my junior year. So I played my last season of high school ball at Forest Park, Georgia, at a Clayton County school. So we kind of lost touch during then. I seen him a couple times when I came home. I haven't spoke to him much, though.
Okay. Now let's fast forward a little bit. Let's go all the way to your senior year in college. So you played junior college. You ended up at what was the school that you ended up at again?
Bluefield State in West Virginia.
Okay. What was that experience like? So you're a senior, you're trying to play, you want to play pro. You finish out, you know, what are you doing and how do you end up in the NAPB or TBL?
So actually my first year out, right after the season, I was getting ready for a showcase in Vegas, and I broke my fifth metatarsal. So I was actually out for about 6 weeks, man. So right after my senior season, it wasn't too good for me. I got hurt, but that probably was my bright spot because it actually taught me a lot. I had a chance to actually sit down and reflect, study the game more, actually become a little more intelligent with it. And then it just made me appreciate the game more, appreciate the little things, the grind more, like being able to get up and walk and go for a jog. So it definitely made me appreciate things like that more. The journey after going pro was very tough. Of course, you're coming out of a small school. Then I wasn't averaging no crazy numbers. So, of course, I had to, for me, it was more like, man, I'm going to just show up, show out, and get on these people's radar, showcase everything I got, because me sending film or me sending numbers wasn't good enough to really catch your eye.
Right.
The numbers not that eye-popping. It's not like the film was just all LeBron James and Kobe dunks and fadeaways. So,
right.
So, you know, for me, it was more about getting in front of the right people and, you know, just believing in what I can offer and believing what I can do. And, you know, that paid off for me. My first year at NAPB, I got a call down and got invited to training camp. Ohio Cardinals, Mike Perini called me down. Thank you to him. Gave me my first pro opportunity for real. Yeah, called me down, man. Kept me around. I was actually the captain of the team, which was crazy because I didn't even play a game. But I was just so locked in, man. I was just so focused. And I was driven to actually reach, you know, the next level and to keep, you know, elevating my game. And that's what I like to see about this league, because every year I've seen myself grow in this league.
Yeah. You know? I got two things. So first, I broke my fifth metatarsal like when I was like a freshman. So I understand that it's the worst. Then you're like kind of tiptoeing around. Oh, I don't know if I can do this or that. Yeah. No, I think it's profound of you to kind of say I was out for about 8 months with a knee surgery my second year of college. So, you know, you kind of understand and appreciate the game a little bit more like today. I think it's great that I can go out and still play and, you know, just like you, you know, you definitely appreciate the game a lot more. And the second thing that I had is for the listeners, it's 8 a.m. for me and Jamal. So it's real, so real early, real early. So, you know, it's the NAPB, when it translated to the TBL, talk about that translation. That was, it was a rebranding. You know, but for a player, what'd you think? Okay, is this a new league? Is this you know, what are you thinking?
For me, I'm not gonna lie, I kinda liked it. It kinda caught me a little more. And I felt like the league was growing. I actually liked the TBL, the three-letter acronym. That's a lot better. But I just felt the league going in the right direction. I just felt like it was growing. I heard a lot more guys talking about it. It was getting a lot more buzz. And I just think, you know, it's been going a lot smoother. But they were definitely, the idea to change it from a four-letter to a three-letter acronym was definitely legit. I like that. If you think about all the major sports in America, you got the NBA, the NFL, you know, so, you know, the MLB. So the TBL fits right in with that.
Right, right. I agree. So let's talk a little bit about Raleigh. You know, you've been there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you like the city? How do you like the, you know, have you settled in? Are you part of the community? You know, how's that looking outside of basketball? What's life like for you in Raleigh?
It's nice, man. I love it here. It's a very beautiful place. It's a good mixture between the urban and the rural worlds. I got my son out here now. I brought my son down. So he's actually been here with me for the summer. He enjoys it. He wants to move here. So that's awesome, man. That's always awesome when you get
that's
you
awesome.
Make a kid happy, man. Make a right. kid smile. Getting engaged in the community though, man. I've done a few activities, mentoring some kids, going to some camps, speaking with some kids, training some kids here and there, building this brand, man, and just showing these kids, you know, no matter what, even with limited resources. If you want something, you can have it. You just got to really go attack your dreams. So me and Miles Time, man, is, you know, basically out branding, mentoring, and just keeping, you know, just keeping a good eye on these kids, man, and sharing all the knowledge I can possibly share.
Where does that come from? Where does that joy of mentoring come from? Were you mentored as a kid and you're like, okay, I want to do this, or were you like, okay, maybe when I get older, I can show these kids where all the potholes are and help them out in that regard? Where does that come from?
Actually, it's come from having limited of that growing up. I want to give a big shout out to John Maney. He ran South Shore United Methodist Church. That was our basketball team. We played a lot of my friends from the east side of Chicago. A lot of us from that area would go and play basketball there for the church. And he started up a team. It started off with us breaking in to the church, sneaking in the gym. And then they called him and was like, yo, we got some kids steady breaking in. You know, can you can you come up and, you know, watch them? And we opened the gym for a couple of days. So it went from that to us having the team to us really having something to look forward to on those days. So it kind of kept us out of trouble. So that right there, you know, showed me, just woke me up to how something so small from being in the gym, you know, 2 hours a day, 3 days out the week, opposed to being outside on the streets, can change your life. So for me, it was just more about what me and my friends didn't have, and then seeing some of those small examples, you know, like what John did for us was amazing. Coach Carter used to do little things, you know, discipline us and talk to us. Coach Bryan did. So it's just, you know, a lot of us grew up without fathers or father figures. So it's just limited resources, and something that motivated me to do that, man, actually experiencing growing up in poverty, witnessing kids grow up in poverty, just watching the news, man. So, you know, I'm easily influenced by that. Just looking in children's eyes, seeing, you know, their hurt or the lack of knowledge. So that's what influences me, man, for sure.
I think that, you know, a lot of athletes, you know, come from a lower middle class, you know, like, you know, like most of us do. And, you know, you doing that and using your platform as a professional athlete to help these kids is amazing. Cause, you know, we were talking the other day, last week, we're in a business meeting, and, you know, we're telling this, you know, prospective team, like, listen, kids really don't know the difference between an NBA player and a guy that's playing professional. We're all about the same height. You know, you got, you know what I mean? So, you know, if you can pour into them, they're like, oh, that's the greatest thing in the world. You know what I mean? Because you're getting that attention, that one-on-one, and maybe even, you know, 10-on-1, whatever it may be, or 1-on-10, like, you know, you're still pouring into those kids. And so, you know, I want to talk a little bit about your brand that you were telling me about last night. Tell us what it is. You know, let's give a quick, you know, 2-3 minute synopsis over it and you know, kind of tell the listeners what you're doing.
Okay. So it's Doubting Overachievers. It's about exceeding expectations and achieving goals through circumstances and situations we've been in. This is one of my first shirts I actually dropped.
Uh-oh, got the good plug on here.
record right now. As you can see, this is just a prototype, just playing around with it. As you can see, that's my face there with the Doubt It across it. Now, I do have a brand of these dropping. Some will say Doubt It, some will say Overachievers. I'm going to do that Chicago edition. But my brand, man, is really for, you know, for people to look at and feel, you know, I want people to get the feel, the sense of urgency that you can accomplish, you can achieve whatever it is that you want to, regardless of your limited resources. You know, like the rose that grew from concrete, you know, it really was motivated by Tupac. You see a rose growing out of concrete, you're going to marvel at just like, how amazing it is that while it was a rose growing out of concrete, you're not going to worry about the petals and how it looks or how it's leaning crooked. You're going to be more like shocked and like, wow, it's growing out of concrete. So why, when you see a ghetto child or a poverty-stricken child come from nothing or a terrible situation, all we can talk about is the negatives on that kid instead of saying, wow, he made it out of this. He did that. Now let's, how do we fix this? How do we change this? How do we get him to see things like this instead of judging him off of where he came from? He knows nothing else. If all you grew up, you know, was on survival or in a poverty-stricken area and all you're seeing is violence and negative things, then growing up, that's going to be instilled in you unless you have somebody to instill love and positivity in you. So I think that's something we should do more of instead of looking at these kids or looking at these, you know, teenagers or young adults as poverty-stricken thugs or ghetto kids, and maybe get them a little knowledge, a little love, a little positivity. And, man, they can be a bunch of roses that grow from concrete. So that's my biggest thing. Doubt It, Overachievers. Shout out to my manager, man. Free money. Will Stanley, he's actually mentoring me. That's a big mentor for me. So shouts out to him, man.
I think that's great, man. I told you last night when we were talking on the phone, you know, as soon as we started talking about the brand, you could hear a change in your voice and just how passionate you are about the brand. And I really appreciate you sharing. And, you know, we'll plug that up for the listeners. You know, TBL players are doing big things, and people got to know that, you know. So as the league grows, you know, players are growing, and you know, maybe one day players outgrow the league and, you know, then they get contracts elsewhere. And that's kind of what the goal is. So, you know, talk about a little bit planning. You know, you played for the Raleigh Firebirds, then you got an opportunity to play in Africa. You know, talk a little about that opportunity in Africa. How was that? You know, you spent 2 months there. What was the playing experience like compared to TBL, and you know, how great of an experience it was?
It was definitely a great experience. The refs are pretty similar. I get that, man. The TBL refs were better. Were a little better. Africa over there, man, the game is very physical. Those guys are in some outstanding shape over there, man. Those guys, very physical. As far as, you know, learning the game of basketball and skill, over there, we do move a little faster. We do move a little faster here. But there, man, the love for the game, the passion was just so amazing. You know, we got there. I know, like, people always tell us, oh, when you get overseas, you're going to be the man. You're going to be the man. They love you. But it's one thing to hear about it, and then it's one thing to feel it. And my biggest thing over there, man, was kids just running up to me and just very excited. Asked me for the autograph. You know, Jamal, we love you. You're the man of Gabon. And, you know, like, just hearing little things like that really touched me, knowing that I'm a young child, a young rose from Chicago, and I'm really motivating kids in Africa. You know, you would have asked me that when I was 11. Yo, Ma, you gonna be in Africa one day motivating kids? Me? No, I don't think so. Right. You know, but I think that was the biggest thing for me, man, that I took from it. Just learning a little bit about their culture. But really just touching those kids, man. Those kids actually still message me to this day. I get messages, follows, comments. I still, you know, I'm still in touch with those kids, man. So it was an amazing, amazing experience. The food was wonderful. My teammates over there were wonderful. Everything was wonderful about it.
That's awesome. I have a buddy that plays. He plays in Japan, and he's like the LeBron of Japan. So it's incredible. Like, well, you know, you show up, and you know, you can only have two Americans per team normally. One or two, and then once you're, you know, and then you're, it's an incredible experience. You know, real quick, let's talk a little bit about TBL. Are you planning on playing in TBL this next season?
I really want to working on some overseas things right now.
Okay.
Waiting to see what happens with this. If I'm still home, then of course I'm going to play in it for sure.
Yeah.
But the way it's looking right now, I mean, we may be over the waters. That's something to stay tuned for.
Okay.
Can't get the fans too much on the interview right now. You got to let them. Gotta give them something to watch.
Gotta simmer for the journey. Exactly. Exactly.
I worked out for a few teams over the summer, so we're waiting to head back and see what happens. Got a couple things in the work. So, man, you know, if they open back up and I'm home, of course I'm playing. So, I mean, let's just see. You know, that's up to God, man. God controls it. He has it. He knows what's best. So,
you know, that's right.
I definitely would be excited, though, if it started back up, man. I'm here and it's rolling. You got some unfinished business left in the TBL, man.
Well, that's what TBL is all about, man. We're all, you know, here to give opportunities to players. And if you can go overseas and go get a bag, then let's do it, right? You got to get it done. Well, this is my favorite part of the show. I don't know if you've seen any of the podcasts, but this is the listener's favorite part of the show as well. So it's a speed round. You know, I'll set the timer for 1 minute. You got to answer as many questions as possible. You know. Yeah. The last person got 7. I think the highest is 13 or 14. Chris Allison from he's the TMO of the Owensboro Thoroughbreds and then Indy Express.
Man.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ronaldo Major did a pretty good job too. I don't know if you know who Ronaldo is.
Ronaldo,
yeah.
Man, another Chicago native right there.
See, us Midwest guys, man, we got to stick together. That's what it's all about. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
What's your favorite place to eat?
Zaxby's.
Favorite part of TBL?
Travel.
What is your favorite food?
Grilled chicken.
What is your favorite place to visit?
Vegas.
Who's your favorite singer?
Aaliyah.
What's your favorite movie?
The Lord of the Rings.
What is your favorite book?
Ooh. Mamba Mentality.
What is your favorite fruit?
Strawberries.
Favorite candy bar?
Butterfingers.
Favorite animal?
Monkeys.
What is your favorite thing to order at a fast food place?
Oh, chicken strips for sure. Extra crispy.
What is your favorite dessert? You got 3, 2, 1. Ooh, that's not bad. Let me count. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Not bad.
Hey,
not bad at all. Hey, not bad at all. Hey, for 8:24 a.m., that's not bad. That's not bad at all. That's great. Well, Jamal, man, I know you got some workouts to get to. I really appreciate you coming on the show. You know, I want to thank all the listeners that came on today. You know, reminder, TBL Combines. Did you participate in the TBL Combine?
No, not this year. I actually did my first year, though. The first year, okay. And the second year, I did. That's how I came to Raleigh for.
So the next one's going to be in Memphis, Tennessee, August 22nd. Players are looking to get in, you know, sign up online at thebasketballleague.net. You know, Jamal, real quick, let's go 20 seconds. Give some advice to players at these combines. What you got for me?
Hey, man, go in there. Be very vocal. Be very vocal. Keep in mind that you're going to a combine. Everybody wants to showcase their game. Everybody think you just do that by dribbling and shooting. If you got 100 people in the gym dribbling and shooting, then you got this one over here diving on the floor, playing defense, grabbing rebounds. Who you think everybody's going to see? So
that's great.
Keep that little thing in mind. Stay vocal. Stay vocal. Stay positive. And, man, do the little things. Be a great teammate. Make the right plays.
That's great advice. Well, Jamal, thanks again to all the listeners. We appreciate you guys. If any type of sponsorship that any businesses are interested in want to sponsor the show, that'd be greatly appreciated. Jamal, man, again –